Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Content produced by Civic Media.
I heard my dad pray over a football game. Just got eternity. Is there a shortlist order of importance, or is it just luck based? Listen, I'm just confused with the work that he's doing, and I mean this respectfully.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to a special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Today, it's the Maggie Dom Show.
Hey, Maggie Dawn.
Thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Maggie.
So last Thursday when I spoke to y'all, I introduced the fact that I had read a really interesting think piece in the Washington Post about religious belief and atheism and some polling that was just done, which is really interesting. And I wanted to ask my most favorite atheist, Dominic Salvia, to join me this afternoon to talk about religion, because you were born into a Catholic family.
Yes.
And so was I. And we've had different faith journeys and different explorations of these ideas. And so I wanted to bring on someone to help have a kind conversation and to ask other people what they think about this and to maybe share a little bit about your personal experiences. And Anya, you're always welcome in these conversations as well. 844-967-2789. And little did I know on Thursday when we announced this topic that one of the longest simmering religious wars of modern history was going to engage a new and brutal chapter on Saturday. I know the devils were talking a bit about it. So key, obviously, we all are aware that Hamas effectively invaded Israel and took hostages and then retreated to the Gaza Strip on Saturday. They're not sure if the number of hostages number in the hundreds. I mean, some of the videos are just absolutely shocking. Where did you and the devils leave that discussion, Dom?
I tried not to talk about it a whole lot, maybe. Yeah. Ultimately, I went and looked at some of the reporting in Israel, and one of the newspapers, the third largest newspaper, it's Haaretz, I think, was very critical of the current prime minister, his corruption, his expansion of the settlements and the treatment of the Palestinian people, the hard right government, really, really sticking the screws to it. And they were putting the blame for much of this. I mean, obviously Hamas is responsible. They're the ones that are, indiscriminately shooting at people at a concert.
Yes.
And, I went to a concert this weekend, Maggie, and it's hard to think about these things. This is, daily life. So when it comes out and literally shoots at you, it's hard to not, put it in your own perspectives. But, the political circumstances and, of course, of the historical circumstances here, Israel formed as a nation back in the 40s and the wars of, since then and, all the politics. I mean, I remember Ronald Reagan from Feed the Iranian Prisoners and all. Ronnie, he's the great guy keeping us all safe. Of course, you didn't know at the time he was, dealing with them.
Yep.
But, of course, the influence that Iran has in the region, as Saudi does, as we do, as these countries do, and how it all kind of flushes out to between then and now. And I don't see how we can look at this conflict and this aggression and despair on both sides without looking specifically directly at religion.
Yes. Here was one of the quotes from Haaretz. This is in their Sunday paper. This is an Israeli newspaper. Quote, the prime minister who prides himself on his vast political experience and irreplaceable wisdom in security matters completely failed to identify the dangers he was consciously leading Israel into when establishing a government annexation and disposition policy towards Palestinians. He adopted a foreign policy that openly ignored both the existence and basic human rights of Palestinians. the history, as Dom alluded to, Israel formed in 1948. Egypt controlled this area of Gaza that we're talking about right now. Of course, the terrorist invasion was into the state of Israel, but then retreating into Gaza, sandwiched between Israel and Egypt. Egypt controlled the Gaza Strip until about 1967, then had the Six Days War, just a brief historical recap, because this is very important. Israel then controlled both the West Bank and Gaza for nearly 38 years. Lots of Jewish settlements in both the West Bank and Gaza. And many of us may recall, if we think back in our recent history, that Prime Minister Netanyahu has established the most extreme government in Israeli history, is effectively neutering the Israeli Supreme Court and established an incredibly aggressive foreign policy of repossession and effectively denialism of any Palestinian right to exist. Now, we're not going to get into this basically centuries-old conflict between a people that for centuries in the Jewish people did not have a state, and the Palestinians who do not have a state. The U.S. declared Hamas a terrorist organization. let's see, many years ago. I've got the date here somewhere exactly. But Israel has had an extensive blockade of the Gaza Strip. Most people in Gaza, Palestinians, live in extraordinary poverty. These are intractable problems. Those of the GOP right that are politicizing this, trying to assert that Joe Biden is responsible, are actively, knowingly misrepresenting the history in this space. But at root, this isn't just ethnic conflict. This isn't just racially based conflict. This is a religiously based conflict. And this piece that was written in the Washington Post, it was an excerpt from a woman's book that she just put out, Dominic. And the reason that she ended up writing the book is that her children started asking her some really basic questions. And where she found herself was, I can't bring myself to tell them things are true that I don't know to be true when it came about religion and the existence of God. And so, perhaps to help facilitate our conversation, and anybody who's listening, welcome to join 844-967-2789. Do you believe in God? Why? Was it part of what you were raised with? Were you given religious choice? Were you given faith choice? Were you given the choice over believing in God when you were growing up? So God, as the theoretists define God, is a supreme being that can intercede to change what's going to happen next, that can create life forms, that has ultimate control over the entirety of the universe. That is God. Now, unless you believe in that, guess what? You might be an atheist. Believing in God is not the cosmic oneness of humanity, or, oh my gosh, these inexplicable coincidences happen. There must be something out there. That's not good. It's not belief in God. Belief in God requires a belief in a supreme being that can intercede, intervene to change the course of events, that can create and take away life. You got to meet all those preconditions.
That's a lot.
It is. That's a whole mouthful.
Wow, man. People really got it figured out. You know, I've been on this earth for 52 years, Maggie Dawn, and apparently it's already been all figured out.
Well, it's a good thing somebody wrote it down. But which book did they write it down in? Is it the Torah? Is it the Bible? Is it the Seven Pillars of Islam?
Is it any of the multitude of religions that have come and gone that we've never heard of or never will of the religions to come?
Yeah. One of the interesting things that this author talks about is she was sharing with her kids a children's book that her parents had shared with her when she was a kid. And it's Dallaire's Book of Greek Myths. And one of her kids, they were about 3 and 5, said, well, what's a myth? And She said, this is a story about how the world works, yeah, right? That was,
a myth is yesterday's religion.
Correct. And that's the way that she described it. A myth is a set of beliefs that we use to explain the world that nobody believes in anymore. And religion is a set of beliefs that we use to explain the world that people still believe in. We don't still believe that Zeus with a thunderbolt created weather events.
I saw him on Marvel. I mean, it's, what are you talking
about?
It's
got to be true.
It's got to be true.
And I understand, certainly, I'm humbled by the human experience and our desire to understand, right? Because that's where that fill in the blank, that gap in our understanding of our own human existence, it's that gap that religion fills, right? Why am I here? This is how we understand major human life events. Births are given religious significance. Deaths. We search for meaning. I understand the impetus. Why is that we start and stop with the answers that others give to us?
Nah, that's a great question, Maggie.
Right? And I think that that's part of the tension and challenge that we have when we talk about these things, is that once you accept that it might not be true, boy, does that lead you down some really challenging question paths, does it not?
Yes, absolutely.
844-967-2789. So, Dominic, when did you first go, but what about?
The first time I was ever exposed to it. It never made sense to me, even as a kid. I mean, I remember being specifically confused between Santa Claus and Jesus. Like, okay, well, yeah. why is Santa bringing me presents and Jesus doesn't bring me any presents? But why is a tree? What? Mm-hmm. So none of that really made any sense. So from my religious perspective, though, I mean, the Italian side, the Catholic side. As a kid, I guess I was baptized as a baby, but I was never confirmed. So already by that time, you know, I wasn't buying it, and perhaps my parents were like, yeah, you know, a little less involved. Believed at that point. Now, I remember times as kids, you know, during family crises, they'd go through and they tried, when we were kids, they're gonna read Bible passages here or there. You know, none of that really ever stuck. I went to public grade school, Catholic high school. So by the time I rolled in to Xavier High School in Appleton, Wisconsin, I didn't know all the rules, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of rules.
Lots of rules. And for example, the three gods, or I'm sorry, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But there's only one
Trinity,
God.
Trinity, yes. Yeah,
well, that seems like three to me. Like, I just had math with Mr.
One, two,
Deneen, and there's three, and now you're telling me the 1, 2, 3 equals one. And so I was always the guy in the back.
Currently, it's 48 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Maggie Don Show. Today it's the Maggie Dom Show, and we're talking about religion and atheism and what deciding what your system of belief is going to be or not be, and how you want to approach life. How does that come about? How do we feel about those things? What do you have to say about all of it? Are you religious? Do you go to church or the mosque or the synagogue every weekend? And it's especially timely, of course, because of the conflict in the Mideast happening on a Jewish holiday. So, Dom, you were saying before break, of course, there's the Holy Trinity.
Right.
But one God.
But one God. So, you know, it never really made sense to me. I never bought into it, you know, and I tried. I remember religious family members had little tapes. They tell you stories of God, you know, building your foundation on sand versus rock and all the stories. And I appreciate a good story. You know, there's lots of things to learn, you know, the more you read. But to take, you know, the Bible literally, it was certainly a stretch for me. And then I just kind of, you know, after high school, I was like, well, I got excused from religion class as a
you
freshman.
Did?
Yes. One of the
did
few.
Did you ask for that?
No, well, I accepted.
You accepted the offer. I don't have to do this? Okay.
Some things are a matter of faith. was the answer to many of my questions.
Yes.
And that's not really an answer for me. And so in order for the Met class to move along, I got excused and I got to go hang out with the international kids and the Assembly of God people, because they didn't go to, you know, they're Buddhists and,
yep.
And Assembly of God people. They don't go to Catholic Mass. But I did attend occasionally because of the community part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I get that part of it. We'd have a, you know, something before a big game or something like that. I could appreciate that, but I didn't have to. That being said, when I finally read a couple of books about, you know, with other folks, because they articulate things better than me, Megan, so I love hanging out with you. You know, some of the things, Richard Dawkins was one of them. There's a couple other ones out there. A few things really stuck with me. Number one, you're a victim of your circumstance, and in the sense that, you know, your religion is your culture, what you're born into. If I was born on the other side of the earth, I'd believe, you know, my belief system would be entirely different, at least as I was raised.
So you're putting your finger on one of the things that for me in my young life, and I don't... I'll tell everybody, I don't mean to bury the lead here. What do I believe? Am I an atheist? I don't know. I know that you can't prove the existence of God. See Richard Dawkins et al., right?
Right.
But one of the things that was really challenging for me in my catechism classes, and even in my own family, I asked all the time, wait a minute, you mean to tell me that if somebody happens to grow up by the accident of birth and circumstance somewhere else in the world where Christianity isn't the dominant faith tradition, that those people are condemned to an eternity in hell? But what if they live really good lives and they're generous to their neighbors? What if they do all the things in those Ten Commandments? They're not saved? It was some of those operational pieces that I just thought, we can't be so arrogant as to think that our God is the one and only true God and that all others are condemned to a lifetime, an eternity, not just a lifetime, of sin and hell. It just didn't wash for me. And I think there's so much anti-atheist bias and prejudice in this country. We'll talk about that a little bit. There's some really interesting polling that's come out. But often people, especially the political rhetoric that surrounds it, it's like, oh, those atheists, they're responsible for plagues and famines and all the bad things that happened. And that's just patently not true. Atheists require of themselves to understand morality, ethics, those things, through their own interrogation of the human experience.
How can you have any morals if you don't believe in God? You know, there are times you hear something like that. And I would just say something about the atheism that Dawkins and others have already brought up. We're all atheists. I just take mine one God further. You know what? Because no Christian, no Buddhist, no Muslims believe in, you know, the Norse gods or the old...
Right. The Roman gods, the Greek gods.
You know what I mean? Listed, let alone all the things that have come and gone again that were, you know, snuffed out or whatever. So everyone already has a sense of that. So when you think about, oh, they don't believe, well, yeah, you get not believing because you believe one thing. You don't believe all the others. I just don't believe that thing too.
Yep.
So we really are very common in that regard.
Yeah, because say you call yourself a Catholic or a Christian. Well, then that means... you don't believe that Muhammad was a prophet. You don't believe in Buddha. You don't believe in the entirety of the Jewish faith tradition in its entirety, right? And how scholars in the Jewish faith take what was in the Old Testament and extrapolate and explore that, right? The Old Testament, of course, part of the Jewish faith. I always thought, well, why is it the Old Testament is sort of metaphor and to be understood with a grain of salt, but that New Testament... that's literally true. Right. I had a hard time with that one. Let's pick up a caller, John from L.A. You're listening to a special edition of the Maggie Dom Show. What say you, my friend?
Hey, John.
Hello. I grew up a Catholic, played organ every weekend for the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm lapsed. And I think I have no regrets about it because... the older I get, the more I'm like Clark Gable in that movie Gone with the Wind. You know that old movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he said, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Thanks for sharing, John. I think a lot of people get to that point, right? Frustrated. They don't think they're really getting the answers.
Well, and I've been around 52 years, maybe I've done a little traveling, done a little bit of reading, lived a little bit of life. And one thing I do know, and even if I can't, you know, disprove the existence of God, I know that most other people do have no better beat on it than I do.
Yeah. There's a core of humility that atheists have, right? That I don't have the bat phone to the great supreme being. If you are on the line, stay there. If you want to join our conversation, what's religion to you? Have you had a faith journey? What do you think about God now? 844-967-2789. Thanks so much for locking it in this historic Monday here on the Maggie Dom Show.
Conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
When all is said and done, you will believe God is a woman, and I feel it after midnight.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Maggie Dom Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Had to bring on my favorite atheist to help me talk about religion with all of you. You want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We lost you, Susan. Call us back, 844-967-2789. Just a little fact note, obviously, observing the second outbreak of war of a certain scale that's happening in our world right now, it's quite incredible in a very bad way. Ambassadorial posts that the United States currently does not have filled because Republicans will not take up Biden's nominations. The ambassador to Kuwait, Libya, Lebanon, Egypt, and oh, what else? Israel. No ambassador to Israel right now.
Those seem to be important slots, especially considering the news of the weekend.
Yeah, might be a good idea. You know, we're going to have to figure out how militarily to respond to help de-escalate our longtime ally, Israel. And Tommy Tuberville keeping numerous promotions in the U.S. military from going forward. Okay, but let's return to the matter at hand. One of the things that I think wherever you end up landing, it is so important at some point in your adult life, and maybe you got to do a little therapy to get ready to do it, but it's to start asking some of these critical thinking questions, right? In this piece written by Kate Cohn in the Washington Post last week, she said, once you start asking these questions, you're more likely to not accept conventional wisdom. You expect arguments to be based on evidence. When you are willing to ask difficult questions about faith and religion and to, frankly, challenge some of the premises, that you actually will help develop skills to be really engaged and informed and a savvy citizen. That not taking something on faith is actually just okay and may in many circumstances be a good and necessary life skill. Atheists require that a claim be tethered to a provable fact. Is that not a most important thing at this moment in our democracy's trajectory, at this moment of the nascence of artificial intelligence? To be able to challenge what is presented to you as fact. Those are good reasons why not to believe, or at least why it should be incumbent upon every person of religious faith, or especially acclaimed religious faith, to engage in this work and to be unafraid to ask those most serious questions. We were also talking about some of those inconsistencies riddled within these religious documents.
Yes, many, many inconsistencies.
You had a couple of favorites.
Leviticus, the Old Testament. I always like to bring that up because, of course, a lot of the conservatives, laying with the man, thou shalt not lay with the man, shall not lay with the man. So they protested. They're all against gay marriage because of the Bible. Well, also Leviticus is the banning and no, you can't eat shellfish. No shellfish. No shrimp. No lobster. None of that. But you don't see the religious right protesting outside of the Red Lobster, right? Those things, you don't see that because so it's very pick and choosy, right? Also Leviticus, the same one, no shrimp, probably has no pork in there. I don't know what one that is there, but man, I love bacon. Also, you shall not mix the linens. The wool and the linens shall never be mixed. That's what it says in the Bible, but I don't see anyone outside of Joann Fabrics mad about that.
Can right? I just jump in with this part as we touch on Torah?
Hey, it's me. Educate ourselves
educate
here.
Educate me. What you got?
Oh, the way I've been holding my tongue. Hi, guys.
No, it's like we have someone who actually did some academic work in Jewish studies, so please
only
help
a little.
Us.
Only a little. I'll just throw this out there, too. Like, Leviticus, I find it so interesting how Christians take Leviticus because the book of Leviticus, which comes after so much of the storytelling of Torah, like this is well after Adam and Eve. This is after Moses. This is like, now we're talking about just like laws and stuff. And guys, your whole Jesus thing is that none of that applies to you anyway. Yes, yep. There are practicing Jews who don't eat pork and don't eat shrimp and things like that. That's what being kosher is. Yeah, yep. There are Jews who don't, who won't buy clothing that does mix fabrics. I'm not one of them. I'm wearing like mostly polyester right now. But like these people who exist, who follow these rules do exist. And like they're not out here, you know, at the Kroger throwing your pork chops on the ground going, you know, get out of here with this trafe nonsense. We're just living our lives. And I don't understand why cherry picking that part to make other people's lives hell is like a fun activity
seems
for the Christian right
to be a good
today.
Way to engage with faith and religion and God. I think that's exactly the point, Anya. Thank you. And keep popping on in here.
I can't for my blood pressure, Maggie.
Oh, well, but just only where we're getting it so bad, it's absolutely necessary. That's the whole point here, right? There's some humility and respect for the beliefs or non-beliefs of others. And fundamentally, I don't care what religion or what book or what portion of the book or which book, you're going to find that some of the holy books underpinning some of the major religions are riddled with facts, quote unquote, air quotes, that are not, that we know that science has disproven. And they'll be filled with morality rules that some modern adherents disavow, right? See, Judaism is an example of that. You've got conservative Jewish folks, and you've got reform, right? And all these different, so too in Christianity, right? Evangelicals aren't the equivalent of Catholics. That for some reason, the picking and choosing of which rules, when, and against whom they get enforced to deprive rights seems to be a big favorite tactic of those who already happen to have a whole cadre of power. I find that to be what is most consistently deeply troubling and problematic about religion. It couldn't be any more true than now, right? I mean, holy cow. The power of religion in U.S. government is crushing certain members of our community. I mean, let's this is a little quote. The Missouri total abortion ban, it actually says this in the law. It says this ban was created, quote, in recognition that Almighty God is the author of life, end quote. Say what? Thomas Jefferson's separation of church and state, I don't think would be down with in recognition that the Almighty God is the author of life.
This is the thing that we have, and I don't have it in front of me, and there's articles all the time, almost weekly, certainly monthly, of some, you know, state or local governmental official wanting to, you know, include the Bible or some religious studies into government. And here's the thing about all that, and I appreciate it. And you know, talk about people that don't believe, non-believers get treated the worst. And a non-believer, you can be a believer of a major religion, but if you're a minority non-believer, so say you're a Jewish person and a
minority believer, just in a non-Christian tradition.
Certainly, right? They get treated the worst. So the true non, like, I don't believe any of that stuff. But when it comes to government, these religious folks want to put that front and center, starting things out with prayers, you know, all the stuff on the money, you know, some things I can just accept because that's kind of how it is, but I don't.
And yet Sharia law, they're like, how dare you invect politics and government with religion when it happens to be Islam?
Oh, when it's the wrong religion.
When it's the wrong religion.
But here's the thing. Because of my position, I could come up with Scientology. I could come up with Dominicology, right? I'm going to come up with this thing and I want my tax deduction. I want my
no tax deduction.
I mean,
it's just
no tax.
Tax exemption.
Thank you. Tax exemption. But here, you know, look, go back to the math equation. If you have a similar variable on both sides of the equation, you cancel it out. You know, my religion is my non-belief versus your religion, which is some sort of belief. Well, both of those things, you know, because there's an infinite number of things I can claim to believe in that claim to be this, that, or the other thing. And if I get a bunch of people to believe it, now all of a sudden I get some sort of credibility on it. Of course not. Those things got to be left at the table. We are not a Judeo-Christian founded country, but a lot of religious politicians believe that we are. And if we don't believe that we are, they certainly want us to be that way, just not Sharia law.
Yeah, just somebody else gets to pick whose religion and who wins and who loses and how we apportion power and rights according to religion. The entire anti-woke nonsense has some really weird underpinnings in religion, right? The trans fear mongering, that's religious. The assertion of control by the government over women's bodies and healthcare choices, that's not about the idea, that's about someone's religion. And the bias against non-Christians and non-believers is true and real in this country. How many presidents do you know that were like, yeah, I don't go to church on Sunday? The answer to that would be zero. Never happened.
I think that's changing.
It may, because here's what. Gallup poll, 2022, 81% of respondents said they believe in God. That's the lowest it's been since Gallup started measuring that. Now, you may be saying to yourself, but Maggie, 81%, super high.
Right.
And hang on with me through this point, because we're going to go right to the phones. 81%. But it depends on how you ask the question, my friends. You must ask the question right. If you add, I'm not sure. So it's, I believe in God. I don't believe in God. I'm not sure. The proportion that say they believe in God goes down to 74%. And if you add all that together, you've got 26% of Americans saying either they don't believe in God or they're not sure, which, guess what, makes it the largest group of religious believers, meaning both the non-believers and the I'm not sure folks are of a greater number than Catholics in this country. So I think we need to start to try to confront some of that pro-belief bias. There are lots of good and moral people setting about trying to make good and moral choices that are atheists. Because at the end of the day, here's what about being an atheist. You're not waiting for God to intercede. You believe that the world can only be made better by human action. And I think that that's so, so very important. Let's go to the phones. Who do we got, Dom?
Monica from Madison, you are up. Welcome to the Maggie Dom Show. What do you got for us, Monica?
Hi. Yeah, I consider myself an atheist. I don't know how we got here, and I think there's unanswered questions with science and with religion. But the way I think about it is kind of like ghosts. They might exist. I don't really know, but I need to see it to believe it. And the same with religion. There's got to be some sort of higher power or some other explanation, but I need to see it to believe it. I'm not going to just go on blind faith. But what I find most troubling is that I think religion is the root cause of most war and conflict. That's the biggest problem. I say get rid of it, because we are just going to keep killing ourselves because we can't agree, and we're never going to agree.
Thanks much for the call, Monica. The weaponization of religion to serve the power aims, the political and economic aims of certain groups of people, that is, history's riddled with that, right? That is the story of human history.
Well, the power that the Catholic Church had over the years, and all the, you know, the major religions over the course of thousands and thousands of years. I mean, literally what we live in now, for me to be able to stand up here and say, no, I don't believe that. No. In some countries, even today, will cost you perhaps your life, certainly some headwinds. And over the course of history, certain death. I mean, politics, it was the church. It was your organized religion is what the politic was. It wasn't until we separated that out, you know? Thank you. The French
Thomas
people.
Thomas Jefferson and the, French people. Yeah. Hang on one second. If you're on the line, stay there. We're going to do all calls when we get back. 844-967-2789. Here's this fact before we go to break. Of Americans that identify as religious, in a general social survey in this past year, only 64% respond that they are certain about the existence of God. If so, there are atheists among Catholics, Jews, Buddhists, and Muslims here in the United States of America.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I know I've said too much. I've said enough. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion.
Everybody, that's Bella Saint covering REM's Losing My Religion. We've had some great selections. Ariana Grande. What do we have? Lady Gaga, Anya. Who is our first up, all thematically?
This is a great question. Oh, our first up was Peach PRC with God is a Freak.
Yeah. Thanks, as always, for the ever on point tunes, Anya. I love listening to what you come up with. I can't take any credit for most of that. It's okay to believe in a higher power if that's your jam.
Sure.
But you cannot use your belief to deprive other people of rights. You cannot use your belief to conclude that other people who believe differently are bad or evil. And you cannot use your belief to disavow the responsibility to show up in your community and to take active steps to make things better. That to me, you know, you couple that sort of, well, I'll just pray to God and things will get better. You know, if you believe in God, then God gave you a brain and a heart and placed you in a neighborhood and a community and has given you access to all this information and all this knowledge. I think if you believe in God, isn't God, you know, trying to maybe operationalize you in some way that helps humanity out?
No, he wants you to be rich. And if you are blessed and rich, then he is.
That means you're good.
That means you're good. And he shined his love upon you. And
if you're
his blessing,
poor
and then
and need help, terrible. Then
yeah,
you're bad.
You're bad.
Just FYI, that's prosperity theology. You listen to that nut job Joel Osteen for hours and hours. He's spewing that nonsense and lining his own pockets with it.
Yeah, but look at the property taxes he pays.
Zero. Thank you very much. Let's go to Mike from Sheboygan. You're on the Maggie Dom Show.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, boy. You can believe in a greater power, and she'll let you know when you screw up. Mother Nature, she will tell you.
And
you
aren't
know,
we seeing
I think we're
that?
Heading, yeah, we're just heading back to medieval times. I don't see why you guys are so tense tonight. I love the show, Maggie Dom, but they just want us to be dumb, stupid, fearful and divide and conquer, and I think that was a Scott Walker platform, if I'm not mistaken. You know, if we won't live long enough to see the Andromeda Galaxy and the other 80 billion stars in our near vicinity, and I mean our near neighborhood, with a couple hundred million planets that possibly support life, but if we ever do meet them, what are we going to do? Get over there, kill them, convert them?
Yes,
we like doing that.
Take the resources and call it a day. Just believe in God,
or
it's all good.
Or they come this way. But I, you know, you guys are grew up hardcore Catholic. I'm the ex Lutheran, who've been throughout the South, the Maranatha, speaking of tongues and all that stuff. But I think the most spiritual got pretty much overseas with all the other so-called foreign religions. And all I can say is most of the good books aren't in the Bible, like the Book of Thomas. And some old white guy took them out a long time ago, and no one asks why. Was it the Wizard of Oz? I don't know. I'm just saying all you we're doing here tonight, I think, is looking behind the curtain and saying, seriously, is this something you really want to lose a lot of lives over? And unfortunately, it's happening again. Complicated situations require complex solutions and not simple answers. And I'll leave you guys with this one. I do follow Matthew 25, as thou hast done to the least of them, thou hast done unto me. Or Romans 14:10, which is, why do you think you have the right to diss your brother?
Yes. There's humility in both of those statements, and that's what I think every believer needs. The humility to understand that your belief is yours and that you don't get to project it onto other people.
Well, isn't that the thing? I appreciate it anyway. Everyone's got their own culture, their own upbringings, their own baggage, their own experiences. And I'm totally fine with that because, you know, some of these things we can't control, some of these things we can. But I'm not sitting here saying, hey, you must believe like I do. You must not believe. And if you don't not believe, I'm going to do X, Y, or Z. I don't do that. But, you know, a lot of these religions and here right here in this country and the hard right and the white nationals, they do say that. You got to believe this or you're the problem.
I kind of want to make sure that this comes across really clearly. This isn't just about projecting your beliefs onto other people. In the last 5 years, religious belief has become, both at the state and federal levels, a way for certain privileged groups of certain privileged religions has empowered them to disregard the civil rights, human rights, and the public health needs of other people. In 45 states and Washington, D.C., parents can get religious exemptions from laws that require school children to be vaccinated. In 7 states, pharmacists can refuse to fill contraceptive prescriptions because of their religious beliefs. Every business with a federal contract has to comply with non-discrimination rules unless it's a religious organization. Every employer that provides health insurance has to comply with the ACA's contraceptive mandate, unless it's, of course, you know, like a craft supply store with Christian owners. Our country's commitment that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion is faltering. We pay for religious-based education from taxpayer dollars from folks like Dom that don't believe in religion. We have now said that a high school football coach can convene his students, his team in the middle of a field and pray together at a public high school. A wedding website designer can reject same-sex clients. And clergy members in Texas are now taking the place of school guidance counselors in public schools. This is a threat to anyone's civil rights or just the basic tenets of human dignity to identify and be who you want to be if you are not of the privileged group. And this ain't new, folks. It's been used forever. Dom, I'm going to give you some closing thought time here, my friend. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, Maggie, thank you for bringing it up and having the conversation. Tax the churches. Tax them all. You know, one of the things that we see the expansion of school choice here in the state of Wisconsin, tithing's going way down, man. Megan gave the numbers. People aren't going. People aren't believing. People are cutting the money they give. So they're desperate. What do they do? Well, hell, we'll educate the kids. And I went to a Catholic high school. My parents paid after tax out of dollars. So they could have benefited from this. No, I don't want tax dollars going to indoctrinate kids. And you talk about indoctrination. Oh, my God. Talk about grooming. Tell a 5-year-old that if they don't do exactly as the crazy old man with the weird collar says to do, he's going to burn in hell or she's going to burn in hell for all eternity. That's grooming. That's terrible. Those are terrible things to do to young, expanding, growing, impressionable minds.
Let's leave it here. Whatever you believe, each of us has a responsibility to make our community better. You can't just pray it away. Treat each other with respect and like the dignity that you want for your religious beliefs or non-beliefs. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is Dominic Salvian.